Long story in the Gospel from chapter 4 of the Gospel of John. This time, and I can see as much as we can, we are practicing social distancing, learning new words and new concepts, with which those the pandemic of this virus has brought us to think about. If you want, just on a note of information, I'm going also to the website of the Orlando Diocese, and you'll find the words of Bishop Noonan also. Also, he has given the dispensation from the obligation of Sunday Mass for all those, of course, who are sick, or those caring for them, or those who feel they're vulnerable. They have that dispensation as well until the situation continues. Now, in this time of Lent, this is the third Sunday. So the first Sunday, we meditated on Jesus staying for 40 days in the desert, fasting and praying. And then, the devil came to tempt him. Then last week, we meditated on the transfiguration of Jesus, who showed his glory, the three of his disciples. And now every Sunday, we're going to meditate, of course, in different Gospels. But they will help us to meditate and understand the realities of baptism. Basically, it's a whole retreat during Lent about baptism. Meditate on the water, the symbols that we have even to this day, of course, on baptism. The water, the light, new life. We'll be meditating on this. And today we saw Jesus coming and meeting the Samaritan woman. The relationship between Jews, the whole of Palestine of Jesus' time was a province of the Roman Empire. But centuries before, it used to be the Kingdom of Israel. And the Kingdom of Israel, at a certain point after King David, who united everything, the 12 tribes, it became divided in two, and the northern part of it was conquered by other neighboring nations, and they mixed. And from that mixture of people coming in, and the Jews that were living there, all this, the Hebrew living there came the Samaritans, who follow some of the law of Moses, but also have incorporated many traditions from the foreign nations. So from Jerusalem, they would not accept the Samaritans. I think we could draw a comparison. Their relationship was like we're living today, don't shake hands, don't come too close, some people even avoid talking to other people. They could not even talk. They would not shake hands. They would not share a meal together, Jews and Samaritans. Samaria was a region in the center, Jerusalem to the south and Galilee to the north, or Nazareth east. So all the Jews in Galilee, they had to go down to Jerusalem. They would go usually a long route, to pass around Samaria and not cross Samaria territory, because they would not even ask for water, because in a society that everything was divided between what was pure or impure, to touch, to talk, to receive anything that was Samaritan would make them impure. So saying all this just to understand that what Jesus does to sit by that well with without a bucket at noon, height of the sun. And then comes a woman. A man would not address a strange woman in public. And a woman would never talk to another man other than her husband, her father, or family in public. Yet Jesus comes and asks for water. Not only was she a woman, She was a Samaritan. And we can here understand that Jesus is breaking all the stereotypes that they had in that society and showing something bigger, something more meaningful. You know, he's saying, you know, all this division, because she asks, you know, your people, you worship in Jerusalem, we have our own mountain, Mount Gerizim, that was just there where the Samaritans in the past had built a temple just to rival the temple in Jerusalem. So who's right? And Jesus says, you know, there will be a time, that will come a time, that you're not going to ask this anymore. Is it right here? Is it right there? Because God is spirit. And you cannot imprison. You cannot just say, it is here. You know, we own this space, and we own, you know, the presence of God in that space. No, he said, God is a spirit. And the true worshipers, we worship in spirit and truth. I would say we worship in freedom. Of course, we always will have sacred space, which by sacred I mean space dedicated to worship. But it's not, you know, to say that, well, this is the only place you can find God. This is the only place that God will manifest himself. No. God is present. And Jesus will tell where there is love. And then Jesus promises the water, the living water. At first, the woman does not understand what he's talking about. She said, well, if there's any option other than have to come every day here to draw water from this well, okay, I will take it anytime. But Jesus, he is the living water. He is the one who will always give new meaning to one's life. So I believe we are, you know, when we were baptized, water was poured on our head. And that living water representing the Holy Spirit is the same fountain that we should always come back to. And understand that we also need, you know, we are thirsty. In the first reading, we see the people complaining to Moses. You know, they're crossing the desert. They were just freed from slavery. They should be rejoicing, yet they are complaining. So we have no water. Are we going to die in this desert? And then God provided water for them, because God cares. They give him. Now we should trust, because the living water is that spring that will rush forth and will always be there. Now, may this, our encounter, this coming to meet the Lord, you know, satisfy the thirst that is within ourselves, the thirst of being with the Lord, encountering the Lord, not only to have the Lord for ourselves, but to do as that woman did. You know, she went to town and she starts spreading the news. You know, I have found someone who knows about me and never seen before. He's a prophet. Could he be the Christ, the anointed one? And the townspeople came, and Jesus stayed there, and they listened to him. You know, they put aside the idea, oh, he's a Jew, and we're not going to talk to him. No, they listened to him. And in the end, they said, we believe, not only, no longer because of your word, or the word of the woman. They said, we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. I believe that's a profession of faith that we, in the end, we should also profess. To say that I have come to believe, I came, and it's not because of somebody told me. I have made that experience. I have found the fountain, the wellspring of living water, and that is the Lord. So let us trust, and the Lord will give us new life, always there, and then we worship the Lord in spirit and truth.